As a young boy, I was enthralled by airplanes and the wonder of whether I would ever embark on a flight that would carry me to new, exciting adventures and a life of limitless possibilities. I came to know I had the power within me to soar, and that has made all the difference in my life. Flying for the first time is a lot like creating your own business, launching a startup, or establishing a non-for-profit organization. Both require a leap of faith and a willingness to take a journey of unexpected variables. In other words, both require a little bit of crazy and a whole lot of courage. Don't let fear hold you back from doing what you truly love. Commit to your vision and be the CEO of your future. You wouldn't be in this room if you didn't have a vision. Worry about the vision more than the provision. I find that the provision comes to the vision. A lot of people ask for provision who have no vision, and money runs from blindness.
Money runs from blindness.
Yes, yeah, money runs from blindness. Money.
Bishop, you might need to unpack that one.
Okay.
For some
folks. If there is no purpose, there is no provision. And well, I'm not talking about physical blindness. I'm talking about blindness so far as career and future. Until you figure out, the first thing the bank wants to know is, what do you want to do? Anybody who's going to invest in you wants to hear, what do you see? What do you see? When Jesus healed the blind man and touched him the first time, he asked him, what do you see? Because his response is based on his answer. So the man said, I see men walking as trees. He said, I'm gonna touch you again. Until I clear up your vision, we can't leave this spot. The first time I went to the bank, it was amazing. They wanted a 7-year projection of our company. And I thought, wow, I didn't know anything about business. I thought, what in the world do they want that for? I could write down anything. What they're really asking you is, have you thought through the future?
That's right.
They're asking you, can you see? Because if you can see, we will fund what you see, provision. But if there is no vision, how can there be provision? So we, when we want something, ask God for provision. But you need to be asking for vision. Because if you get a clear vision and you're passionate about it, people support people, not ideas. So if you're not excited about it, why should I give to it? Soar, when I sat down to write it, was written solely and exclusively to people who had aspirations for being entrepreneurial. Because I grew up in a home with entrepreneurship and I'm very passionate about it, and I've expressed it to my children. As I began to write it, I thought, this is also true for people who are starting churches. The same mindset was applicable, because a person who goes to work to perform a task, and when the task is over, they go home. An entrepreneur doesn't have hours.
That's right.
An entrepreneur takes full responsibility for everything. You can't be one-dimensional and be an entrepreneur. Just because you like to bake cookies doesn't mean that you can just think about baking cookies. You got to think about packaging. You got to think about marketing. You got to think about health inspections. You got to think about staff development. You have to think about everything. The buck stops with you. So you have to be a global thinker to be an entrepreneur. We are teaching people to be specialists in one dimension. And it was very much like pastoring a church, starting a church. You start a church, you can't just worry about what I'm going to preach this Sunday. There are preachers who come to work for churches who are so organized that they are hired to preach. But if you start a church, you better be hired to clean bathrooms. You better be hired to drive the bus. You better be hired to balance the books. You have to be hired to do a whole lot of stuff. You know, I worked my way out of doing all of that stuff, but I started out, you know, I was a choir director, the head of the deacon board, the cleanup committee, the head of the janitorial service, and the marketing director. I had to be everything. That's an entrepreneurial mindset. As I continued to write the book, I realized that I wasn't talking about a thing. I was talking about a mentality. The mentality says, I take responsibility for where my life is going. Well, so I wrote the book Soar to say to you, whether you're working a job and need, when you work a job, I tell you what I'll pay you. But what I'm willing to pay you may not be how much you need to make. Yeah. So you might need multiple streams of income in order to get what you are really worth, even though I've determined what I'm going to pay you. You cannot allow my evaluation and assessment of what you are worth to my company's dream to be the substratum of what you hope to get for your dream and your purpose. You understand? So whether it is subsidizing your income with multiple streams of income, as I mentioned to you while I'm sitting here talking to you, we're filming in Pittsburgh. You don't always have to be present to be productive. Okay, I talk in the book about building the team around you. I call it the machine. Building the machine is imperative for you to be functional. The only reason I can sit here right now is that I have a team of staff people who are sending me texts up to the very last minute before I walked out here, telling me what's going on in all the venues, all the time, all the while, what's being shot, what's being handled, all that's going on. You have to build around you an infrastructure. And this is what one of the reasons I wrote the book is I watched my father start a business with a mop and a bucket. One mop, one bucket, borrowed a truck. Went to clean up a place and turn it into a business with 52 employees and 10 trucks servicing the state of West Virginia doing a janitorial service. And one of the things that stopped it from going nationwide, in my view, is that he wouldn't stop mopping. You understand what I'm saying? My father was such a hustler, in a good sense. He was a good hustler. It was hard to describe what he did because he did everything to survive. This is 1960. And then when he started working, he was good at working, took pride in what he did. But in order to really get your hand on things, you have to stop doing and start being. John Maxwell says, if you know how to do a thing, you will always have a job. But if you know why they're doing it, they will always work for you. Comfort is a cage. We used to be pioneers. That's how the country was settled. And we stopped pioneering new things. We stay where it's comfortable. We play where it's safe. We don't really get out into the wild of the possibilities. We stay in the confined cage of that is tangible and touchable, 9 to 5, and that's it. But we need more creativity, and we need to follow our instincts. Now, without that, you may make some money, but you won't find fulfillment. The people who became the most successful in our society are people who broke the rules. You know, there was no presidents for 24-hour news cycles until Ted Turner did it. There's so many people who got out of the box. Look at Apple and the birth of the whole notion of Apple, or Nike, I talk about in the book, and the birthing of that corporation, how they did something with the tennis shoe that had never been done before. If you only base your decisions on empirical data, you can only repeat what somebody else already did. If you follow your instincts and your own God-given creativity, we can go where we have not been before. You are only limited by how you use the same thing God gave everybody, 24 hours. The differences in income is based on what you did with the time he gave you. Everybody has the same day, but everybody doesn't have the same pay. SOAR is about understanding, why is it that somebody wakes up in the morning and they come home with 10,000 and I come home with 150 when we had the same 24 hours? And I'm saying it is as much a mindset as it is anything else.
You have to own your own happiness. Take it away from other people demanding that they make you happy. Your kids are not going to make you happy. Your spouse is not going to make you happy. A big house is not going to make you happy. Own your own happiness and be responsible for doing those things that bring joy into your own heart, independently of life and people and money and all of that stuff.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily give you a happiness. You have to take responsibility of that peace and that joy that lives inside of your heart and not inside of your stuff. Enjoy the journey, not the destination. A lot of us delay our happiness. When I get to this level, when I get my degree, when I get the kids, when I get married, I'm going to be happy. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the whole step, the whole process. Every day that you get up to strive for whatever it is you're after. You know I'm a goal-oriented guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you don't celebrate when you get to the finish line. Celebrate all along the way. Celebrate all along the way.
Yeah.
What is something you'd suggest to add to our daily routine to empower ourselves?
Quiet. Quiet. We're too busy. We are so busy that we don't notice that we're not productive. Busy does not mean that you are producing. We are just spinning our wheels. And the great thinking and progress that we've made in this country, steam engines, telephones, automobiles, all types of things, spacecrafts, were done by people who had moments to think. We're moving so fast at breakneck speed. And if we get a free moment, we're on Twitter and Facebook and everything. It's the death of creativity. And I would challenge people to go back to meditation. And if you're spiritual, go back to prayer. If you're not, just go back to just laying still for a moment to clear your head, to hit the reset button. Because we are starting every day with the burdens from yesterday assaulting us in today. Let's put a comma between all of that.
I read somewhere, as an actor, I think, said it, that once a week, he doesn't talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't talk all day.
Yeah, just peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, just peace. Shut it all down, and you'd be surprised what you can hear when you shut up. Since we're talking about business, we're talking about money, you can't be tribal and be a global thinker at the same time. The reason money is called currency is that it needs to be able to flow. And the issue is, do you have a vision that flows beyond people who look like you, dress like you, and vote like you? And if you're going to do business, you can't do segregated business and do it well. If you've got a product that you believe in, or a message that you believe in, or a movie that you believe in, or whatever it is, you want to reach the broadest amount of people. And most people think tribally. All of their relationships, their contacts, their associates are tribal, and you block the ability to succeed when you block the ability to communicate beyond your tribe. When I was in South Africa on a safari, I was blessed to be on a safari after I had taught for a group of black billionaires a seminar about faith and finances. And they detained me over and gave me the privilege of staying out at J. Paul Getty's place out there in the middle of the jungle somewhere, and to go on a safari with my son. It was amazing. So there I am in between a zoologist who is giving me all of this information about all the animals, their habitats, their mating practices, how they live, how they operate, and sitting on the edge of the Jeep with a shotgun to protect us. We weren't hunting, we were just watching, was a Zulu. The Zulu says nothing at all. The zoologist explains all the animals, and we visit all the different places and see a lot of the animals, but we had not found the elephant. He explained the elephant, but he could not find him. Finally, the Zulu stood up and he put his finger in the air and he pointed up. He said, "The elephant is over there." When he said it to me, my head exploded, Larry. It exploded, because all of a sudden I realized I'm sitting between intellect and instinct. Mm-hmm. Intellect can describe it, but only instinct can find it. And from the premise of that ideology, I begin to go back through all of my life and begin to see not only me, but others, how if they position themselves between intellect and instinct and know when to yield to which one, that next big thing, whether it's an elephant, an entrepreneurial pursuit, or raising a family, it is simply over there if you follow your instincts. To go with my gut, to listen at my inner...
Your instinct.
My instinct. I mean, it's really true. And that's why I had the aha moment out there, because when I look back over my life, I wrote a book, a man writing a book called Women That Are Loose to Women, at a time no publisher wanted to publish it. There was no precedence for it, but I went with my gut, and that book sold 7 million copies, blessed people all over the world, been translated into 10 different languages. If I would have gone by the empirical data, I would have never done it. I moved from Charleston, West Virginia, to Dallas, Texas, didn't even know anybody, but I felt like I was finished in West Virginia. Instinctively saw Dallas as a place that I needed to be. And I went from pastoring 1,000 people to 30,000. Every major move that ever happened in my life, from doing gospel plays that turned into movies, that ended up with contracts with Sony's, and I've never been trained to do it. It was all instinct. And when I presented this idea and began to talk about it, and I started talking to other people like Tyler Perry or Oprah Winfrey or anybody else that I got a chance to corner long enough to ask a question or two, they were instinctive too.
Because people think, I often, well, that's for those people over there, or when I get myself together, I'm gonna live on purpose.
Right.
But you say, it is possible wherever you are right now, Facebook, anywhere in the world watching us, that even if you're in the middle of a disaster,
right,
you can use that disaster for direction.
Absolutely, because it is through the disaster, it is through the adversity that our strength is developed. If everything went the way you wanted it to go, you wouldn't have anything to exercise by. It's a gymnasium of life where you get the workout, the resistance, and you find out things about yourself that you didn't know. I'm stronger than I thought I was. I'm tougher than what I thought I was. I'm more resilient than I thought I was. And that self-respect stops you from being at the mercy of other people to validate you, to make you feel good about who you are. So many times you have a modicum of talent in an area, maybe just enough talent to appreciate people who are really called to that area. It doesn't mean that you need to necessarily go out and do that thing. You must understand that the purpose is the underlying chemistry that makes you live your life. It may not be, you may not have a strong talent. Let me give an example, because I'm messing mine up. Let me give you an example. I have talent as a musician. I can play the piano. Not well enough to be maestro, but I have a modicum of talent in that area, but that was not my purpose. But many, many times we start working in an area that we have talent, but it's not our purpose. I tell my kids this, you may start out doing something that is not the thing you were created to do. It may only be the thing that leads to the thing you were created to do. You understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
So you can't, don't stop at where you are as if it were the destination, when in fact, in reality, it may be the transportation that brings you into that thing you were created to do.
Always go to something bigger than yourself. I'm wondering if you've been defeated because you have been giving yourself wholly to something that was too small to hold you. Have you thrust yourself,
yes, sir,
into a glass of water?
Yes, sir.
Have you leaped off the diving board into a cereal bowl person? Are you not guilty of immersing yourself into things that were too small to hold your vision? Oh my God, this is so good, I'm gonna get to CD myself. Jesus sent him to throw himself into something that was bigger than his condition. And he had to go to get to it. He had to get out of his comfort zone. My problem is, so many times you've thrown big ideas at small people. You've given big commitment to cereal bowl people. And you're trying to get your sight back from a source that's too small to support what you're willing to put in. Is your investment bigger than the bank? You should see the way you're looking at me. Is the reason you keep being disappointed by people is that you have wholly thrown yourself into something that was too small. Jesus sends him to something that is bigger than himself so he can wash his eye. Are you trying to take a bath in a bowl?
Since we're talking about business, we're talking about money, you can't be tribal and be a global thinker at the same time. The reason money is called currency is that it needs to be able to flow. And the issue is, do you have a vision that flows beyond people who look like you, dress like you, and vote like you? And if you're going to do business, you can't do segregated business and do it well. If you've got a product that you believe in, or a message that you believe in, or a movie that you believe in, or whatever it is, you want to reach the broadest amount of people. And most people think tribally. All of their relationships, their contacts, their associates are tribal, and you block the ability to succeed when you block the ability to communicate beyond your tribe. Entrepreneurship is not about where we're going to go, it's about who's going to be driving. And I'm saying, why are you letting somebody else drive your economic future and control it by a paycheck being the only way you can make money? You understand what I'm saying? So when you start talking about in those terms, people's brains start ticking and they start thinking and they approach finances differently. And so I don't even want to sell a book
I don't want to sell out a conference. I want to start a conversation through a conference and through a book that brings forth fruit in your pocketbook. Because if I can get it in your head, you can get it in your pocketbook.
Mm-hmm. You want to start a movement?
Yes, I want to start a movement. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. I want to start a movement. Mm-hmm. I want to leave the world better than I found it. I want to let America hear the things that I heard as a child that caused me to be entrepreneurial all of my life. It's something I'm very passionate about. I come from generations of entrepreneurs. And even though I worked a job, I always had a hustle too. Because I don't believe that anybody has the right to say what I'm worth. You can say what you will pay me. But you cannot say how much I make. Because what you pay me may only be one stream that feeds my Garden of Eden. It had four. But you are only limited by your own creativity. If you take back your girlfriend time, your gossiping time, your arguing with people who aren't going to change time, you can turn all that into capital. It's you who chooses to invest in dead places. Mm-hmm. We all have the same 24-hour day. And so the book is called Soar. Some eagles fly from the mountain, and some eagles die in the valley. And the difference is, what did you do with your wings?
Ooh, you can talk about that struggle. You
get to choose whether you struggle or succeed based on your own creativity. And I can't remember exactly how I said it, but it really boils down to this whole notion that if you don't have a strategy, you're going to have a struggle. That's really what it boils down to. And you're a 50-year-old woman, a 60-year-old woman, a 50, 60, 70-year-old person. You can't count on your kids to take care of you. If you don't develop, and I could scream this from the rooftop, why do we let age surprise us? It warns us every day it's coming. And if you don't have a strategy that accommodates aging, you're going to have a struggle. You don't. Your daughter may not have a porch like your grandmother did to keep her mother. So you can't count on your kids to take care of you. And woe be unto you if you waste your strength without a strategy and then get shot because in your senior years you have a struggle. You will eat the fruit of neglect because you failed to plan for this season in your life. Entrepreneurship says I have a strategy, so I won't have a struggle. You are only limited by how you use the same thing God gave everybody, 24 hours. The differences in income is based on what you did with the time he gave you. Everybody has the same day, but everybody doesn't have the same pay. SOAR is about understanding why is it that somebody wakes up in the morning and they come home with 10,000 and I come home with 150 when we had the same 24 hours. And I'm saying it is as much a mindset as it is anything else.